When David found out that his son was dead, what did he do? The verse described David's reaction to the death of Absalom. Vayigas hamelech vayal aliyat, please close the door, aliyat hashar vayeich, v'koy oime belechto b'ni Absalom, b'ni Absalom. Mi yitein musi, ani tachtecho, Absalom, b'ni. You hear?
Yeah.
The king trembled. He went up to the upper chamber of the gateway and he wept. And he said, "My son Absalom, my son Absalom, if only I could have died in your place. Absalom, my son. The king wrapped his face and the king cried in a loud voice, "My son Absalom, my son. How many times did he say it?
Seven.
Eight.
Seven.
I also thought count.
Yeah, I heard Rabbi Goldstein say seven.
Why did he make these eight mentions of my son, if you count as eight?
To help him in Gehenna.
But yeah, so the Gemara answers, Shiva the Aske Mishiva Madura Gehenna. Seven of the mentions of my son. That brought up Absalom from the seven levels of hell.
Oh, you see? Seven.
Seven levels of hell.
And the eighth one was good measure.
The Gemara states that there are seven levels to hell, a unique chamber. The Edoch, what about the other one? There are only seven levels in hell. So to schlep him out of the seven levels of hell, the Edoch, what about the eighth one? Why did he say it eight times?
But how does saying a name get a person?
We'll see. That's the Gemara we're going to talk about. We'll talk. And regarding the other one, that some say that Absalom's head was brought near the rest of his body. What does that mean?
I don't know.
Absalom's head had been thrown far from his body. Through David's prayer, his head miraculously left the place where it had been thrown and became reunited with the rest of his dead body. The Ikad Amri, and some say that it brought him to Olam Haba. The eighth time, the seven raised him from hell, and the eighth time brought him what?
To the world to come.
Look at note 54 of Yaakov. What's difficult about that? Note 54.
Yeah.
This is apparently difficult. Why, Ephraim?
Because the Gemara in Sanhedrin states that although a son's merit can help his father's status, a father's merit cannot help the status of his son.
That's the Rebbe's kasha.
Yeah, that's what he spoke about.
The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that a son's merit can help his dead father in Olam Haba, but a father's merit cannot help the status of his dead son. How then could David elevate Absalom's level to Olam Haba? This is the Rosh Hashiva's kasha.
Exactly.
So Tosfos answers three answers. Since Absalom died such a terrible death, David's prayer could be effective.
He made kapara with his death.
Terrible death.
Yeah.
The Gemara Sanhedrin refers only to children who are guilty of idolatry. Any other violations can be mitigated by the father's merit. And three, the Gemara in Sanhedrin means only that a son will not be exempt from punishment merely because of the honor of his father. But a father's prayer certainly helps. A father's prayer, so therefore David could rehabilitate his neshama. Wow.
Yeah, and you pray the Kaddish for a relative, for your son, so that should elevate the soul, huh?
So here, let's learn the Tosfos over here. Look at the Tosfos on the right side. The Askel Alma Dasi. He brought him to all of my boys. See the Tosfos here? Look. Askel Alma Dasi. The Ikasha, I will learn the Masechta Sanhedrin Chelek. Bara Mezaka Abba. A bra, what does bra mean? A child can give merit to a deceased father. Bara Mezaka Abba. Abba loy mezakeh bra. But a father cannot give merit to a deceased child. Kidechsev, ein miyadi matzil. Ein Avraham matzil es Yishmael. Avraham was not able to what?
To pray for Yishmael.
To save Yishmael, matzil, to save Yishmael. Ve eloy Yitzchak es Esav, Yitzchak could not daven to get Esav out of hell. Avla ben matzil es Av. But a son can save the father. Kigon Yashio. Shiloimanu as Amo. So how could David help his dead son? Yeshleima mishim dach shalom notal eshalom ba'olam hazeh. Shaharag v'misa mishuna. Since he died such a horrible death. Hayilai tfilas aviv. That his father's prayer can what? Help him. Because he died such a horrible death. So the father's prayer can't help it. The Yaakov. And also Avshalom didn't worship Avodah Zarah. Otoysa says, Inami, the very end. Imatzi lemei mahodoma abaloim zakabra. When do we say that a father cannot give merit to a deceased child in Olam Abba? Hani mishim kovid av. Mishoim loy tfila. Avo tfila mayeles. But prayer always helps. Mishim kovid av eimonim losay mishoim. Avo tfila mayeles. But a tefillah always helps. Look at the punchline. I will tefillah my elis, but a tefillah always helps. David hitpalel al Avshalom. And David did daven for Avshalom. So now the kasha comes back. How come Yitzchak didn't daven for Esau? Tosis comes out, lemaskana, but a tefillah always helps. And therefore David davened for Avshalom.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, why didn't Yitzchak daven for whom?
For Esau.
That's the question you got to ask.
Asked about why Abraham didn't pray for Ishmael. But Ishmael, we know he made tshuva by himself.
So let's talk about Esau. Esau never did tshuva. Esau went to Gehenna. Why didn't Yitzchak daven for him?
Maybe he did,
but it didn't help.
He was a Navi.
David was also a Navi. David was a Navi also. Yeah.
Maybe Esau was influenced by all his wives. With idolatry. We don't
know.
Esau. That's maybe the prayer didn't help.
Oh, you're beautiful.
Yeah, that's what
you're is, beautiful.
That's one of the three answers.
That's very good. Very good, Ephraim. Tosis says that if a guy is over the Avodah Zarah, then the prayer won't help.
Yeah,
Esau was over the Avodah Zarah.
One of the three here.
Yeah, very good. That's Tosis says that?
Gabriel.
Shkoya?
No, it's written here. It doesn't help when you have a son
who's a Getchke guy. And Esau was a Getchke guy. Shkoya Ephraim.
Guilty of idolatry.
That's right.
I don't know if Esau made, but
of course he did.
He had many.
The Torah says that he worshipped Getchkes.
Oh.
Huh?
Yeah.
So then it doesn't help. Avshalom didn't worship Getchkes.
No, I don't.
Only to children who are guilty of idolatry. Yishmael was not, Avshalom is not guilty of idolatry. And therefore his father's prayer can what? Help him. Wow. To children who are guilty of idolatry. Any other violations can be helped by the father's merit.
There's a statement, even it's nothing worse for parents to see the children die. And
right.
I know a woman, she become even,
time.
She doesn't believe on Hashem, and her son had cancer. And all. Huh?
What about the 6 million?
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh?
Thanks.
Yeah.
There is another.
Yeah.
Adam. Oh no, that was another. That's another discussion about Abraham and Adam. It's a different.
Abraham and Adam.
It's a different lecture of the Rosh Yeshiva was before.
Yeah.
They don't mix it up.
Abraham and Adam. Yeah.
The relation between that Abraham called Hashem the Adon. Adon Olam, Asher Malach.
Abraham, but he's Malki Tzedek. Didn't Malki Tzedek?
Then was the. It's a difficult. I don't exactly. You have to find the question of the Rosh Yeshiva. To connect that all with Adam, there is a statement in Chazan, Sofer, Midrash, Rashid. The statement that Adam already called Hashem Adon Rishon. So how then both of them can call them Rishon?
Ah, let's look at like let's look
very,
at the
very difficult the issue
at,
all that
over here. Who called God here? Take a look at the parsha.
So the relation between this name Adon and Adam and Adon and Abraham, where is the different relation from this name to the very difficult, let's take a look here.
Adon or Kel Elyon? Page 37, Pasuk Yud Ches.
Yeah.
Now here you learn out that when you get married, you have to check out the brother.
Yeah.
This week's parsha. Give Bava Basra. Bava Basra, page 110a. Have that Gemara. Want to take a look at that?
Yeah. What did you say about Yud Chet on 37 about Melchizedek?
Melchizedek, Kohen Elyon. He's the first one to use that expression by Hashem, no?
As a goy, yeah. That was the first goy.
Oh, the first human being to use that expression. What the first human being, right? What page is that?
The Rosh Hashiva didn't speak
what
about
page?
Him.
What page?
37 Yud Chet. Melchizedek, Melech Shalem, Hotzi Lechem Veyain, Vehu Kohen Le'el Elyon.
He's the first one to use that expression. Kel Elyon, you see that? And then, he uses the first expression, right?
Yeah.
Kel Elyon. Or maybe you can talk about another term? Melchizedek, Kel Elyon. Pasuk Yutes, you see that?
How Abraham called Hashem?
How
do you translate that?
Kel Elyon. The God of the Most High, or the Most High God. The Kel Elyon, the Most High God. So I think Melchizedek was the first to use that expression, Kel Elyon. But from our Pasha, the Gemara learns out that before you get married, you should check out the girl's brother.
Yeah,
right? Because that's why. Achos Nachshon.
Bava
Basra, page 110. I think it's three stars. Bava Basra, 110. Bava Basra, the Bavas. Page 110A. 110A.
Positive.
No, I have, it starts with number 119 and 18 with two stars.
110A. Bava Basra. What does Bava Basra mean? The last gate. Bava Basra. The Bubbas. Thank you. 110A. 110A. Amen. 110A.
Two stars.
Give that man a star? Huh? 110 Abraham 1. You have it or wrong? No, you don't got it?
110
Abraham 1. This week's parasha.
Oh, I just turned to the page.
See, isn't that amazing? This week's parasha.
110 Abraham 1, right?
Yeah. This week's parasha, what does it say?
110 Abraham
1. Where? Which side?
On the left side.
Yeah.
Where the Gemara cites a related teaching. The Gemara cites a teaching related.
It says that Rava said,
right,
one who seeks to marry a woman ought first to examine the character of her brothers. For it is stated.
Where? This week's Pasha, by the way.
It's stated here, and Aaron took Elisheba, the daughter of Aminadab, the sister of Nachshon, him as a wife.
Why do you need all the details for?
The Gemara explains the inference. By implication from the fact the verse says Elisheba was the daughter of Aminadab, I do not know. Do I not know that she was also the sister of Nachshon?
How should I know it? Look at note 6, David. How should I know it?
It says in note 6 that Scripture explicitly states that Nachshon was the son of Aminadab.
So why have to say that Elisheba was the sister of Nachshon? Isn't that superfluous?
Do I not know that she was also the sister of Nachshon?
Why repeat
For
it?
For what purpose then does Scripture state that she was the sister of Nachshon? Its purpose must be
to teach us,
something else as well.
Mikan.
From here we are to derive.
Right.
That one who seeks to marry a woman ought first to examine the character of her brothers.
Mm-hmm. Why is that? Footnote 7. Mm-hmm. The verse is implying that Aaron's decision to marry Elisheva was based on her being the sister of Nachshon. Scripture later states that Nachshon was the prince of the tribe of Yehuda, and he's the guy that jumped into the Red Sea first, no?
Yeah.
So from here you learn out that, what? If you want to get married a woman, you should check out her brothers. Mm-hmm. So let's say she has one brother a scoundrel and the other brother a tzaddik.
Yeah.
What do you do then? What?
Good question.
You ask her which one you liked more.
And how could Yitzchak marry Rivka? Didn't he know her brother was a scoundrel? Lavan,
yeah.
Wasn't he a scoundrel?
Yeah. But he had offered a son, like Lavan.
What?
How could Yaakov's brother?
Yeah, Esau.
That's sisters Leah and Rachel marrying her. You know who my brother is?
Can you imagine who my brother is, huh?
So how did that happen?
Yeah.
So why should it apply then?
It has some input at least.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you're not allowed to marry a woman with a wicked brother, but
Torah
is giving you advice.
If the 12 tribes came from a man whose brother was wicked as a...
No, the 12th tribe came from Lavan. Lavan is the grandfather of the 12 tribes, isn't he?
Yeah.
All four daughters, even Bilhah and Zilpah, says Rashi.
Yeah. They were daughters of Lavan?
The daughters of Lavan through a concubine.
Wow. So how in the world do we figure this out?
So maybe that's why they were capable of selling their own brother. Maybe...
That's interesting, yeah.
Huh?
There's a loving inside of it.
There's a loving inside. How else could they want to kill their own brother? Maybe that's what it is, huh? You'll try to figure it out? Yeah.
It's funny, of course, because Lavan means white.
Lavan means white.
Which is,
but
white is good.
Lavan, read backwards, is Naval.
Oh.
Naval means low life. On the outside, he made himself lily white.
Yeah.
But on the inside, he was a lowlife. Lavan, spelled backwards, is Naval.
Yeah.
Naval means lowlife in Hebrew.
Mm-hmm. And Nela is...
Carcass. Is Naval related to Nevela?
The same root.
Sure.
The same root, of course.
It means the carcass, right?
That's right. Right. You go back to 109b3. Go back to
109b3. Hello.
Omer Rabbi Elazar. You have it on the bottom, 109b3?
This book's not Pesach yet. It's full of crumbs.
It's not Pesach yet.
Yeah, it's not kosher for Pesach.
109b3. You have it on the left side. Omer Rabbi Elazar. Lolam yidbak adam betovim. A person should always marry into a righteous family.
Yeah.
This helps assure that his descendants will also be righteous, no? Sherei Moshe nasas bas Yisrael. Moshe married the daughter of Yisrael, Tzipora, right?
Tzipora, yeah.
He married Tzipora. What happened? Yotzemen Yonatan. We find that Yonatan, the Getchke guy, came out from him. Aaron shenasa bas Aminadav. On the other hand, Aaron married the daughter of Elisheva, the daughter of Aminadav, right? Yosemeni Pinchas, who came out from him?
Pinchas.
Pinchas was Aaron's grandson.
Mm-hmm.
Pinchas was righteous, you know. He killed off, knocked off Zimri, no?
Yeah.
And Cosby, right? So the Gemara says, wait a minute, Pinchas lav me Yisroi yaseh. Did not Pinchas also come from Yisroi? Oksiv, Elazar ben Aaron, lokach loy bibnais petuah lo lisha, our parsha. Elazar, the son of Aaron, took for himself a daughter from the wife, the daughters of Petuel. Who is Petuel? My lav, the osumi Yisroi. Petuel is Yisroi. Shepitem agolim lavodazara. Why is Yisrael called Pituel? What does Pituel mean? He fattened calves for idol worship. You hear this? Wow. He fattened calves for idol worship. So Eliezer married a daughter of Yisrael. A man was once a priest of idols, just like Moshe married the daughter of Yisrael. Look at note 30. Who was Aminadab?
Aminadab
was the great grandfather of Pinchas, where Yisroi was his grandfather. Thus, one cannot infer from the fact that Aaron married into Aminadab's family and Pinchas descended from that union that one ought to marry into a righteous family, right? Mm-hmm. For Elazar was a close ancestor of Pinchas, and Eliezer. So the Gemara is saying it doesn't matter. You got to make your own
decision,
and right? The Gemara says no. No. The Gemara responds, lo. Eliezer did not marry Jethro's daughter. Rather, who was Petuel? Who was Petuel? Who did Eliezer marry? Who was Eliezer, the son of Aaron? Who did he marry? The Osi mi Yosef, shepitpeit be Yitzroy. He married a granddaughter of Joseph who struggled with his Yitzhar and overcome. We shall overcome. The Gemara says, "Balo shvatim mevasim oisam ramim." But we learned that when Pinchas killed Zimri, the other tribes mocked him.
Reviled him, yeah.
Reviled him means they mocked him.
Yeah.
Huh? Why did they mock him? Saying, "We eat them ben puti zeh." You see this guy puti. Ben Shepitem Avi Imo Agolomo Dezara. This guy, whose grandfather fattened calves for a Getchkes, he has the gall to murder a prince of Israel. So from here we see that Puti refers to Jethro.
Yeah. Baba Basra, 2 stars.
Baba Basra, 2 stars.
Maybe number 3.
Maybe
I'll play. Right. So Allah, so the Gemara answers. On top of 110a1, Ella, Avi Ima de Yosef, Ima de Ima Yisrael. We say that what? His mother's father came from Joseph, and his mother's mother came from Yisrael. I Avi de Ima de Yisrael, or his mother's father descended from Yisrael.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, Pinchas was several generations removed from Yisrael, mm-hmm. and he therefore remained untainted. By this relatively distant relationship. He was, however, a close descendant of Aaron and the daughter of Aminadab. So from here you learn that you should marry into a righteous family. But I don't understand. Yisroi did tshuva, Avram. I don't understand. The person does tshuva, all of his affairs become mitzvahs. I don't understand what the Gemara wants over here. Look at footnote 2, Avram. Can you read that? It's hard to understand this Gemara.
Footnote 2. Now that it is known.
Yes.
That the mother Pinchas was a descendant, not the actual daughter from Jethro. Or surmise that perhaps Pinchas and Yisroel were separated by these 4 or 5 generations. This being so, the relationship between Pinchas and Jethro would be more distant than that between Yonatan and Jethro.
Who was Yonatan? Yonatan was a Getchke priest. He was a grandson of whom?
A Yitro.
A Moshe Rabbeinu.
Oh.
Hey, never.
Thus, in turn,
it's a different Yonatan than
Yonatan ben Gershom ben Moshe. Thus, in turn,
allows Reb Elazar to focus on a later relationship and infer from it that one should not marry into a family of dubious lineage.
In the end,
then we conclude that one should marry into a righteous family from the case of Aaron, who married the daughter of Aminadab,
Elisheva,
whose grandson was Pinchas, as opposed to Moshe, who married the daughter of Yitro, whose grandson
was Yonatan, the Getchke guy, in the Book of Judges.
There is no difficulty posed by the fact that Eleazar, Aaron's son, the father of Pinchas, also married a descendant of Yitro. We have established that Eleazar's wife was actually a very distant relative of Yitro.
What do they want from poor Yisroi for? I don't understand what they want from him. They name a parsha in the Torah after him.
Yeah.
What do they want from the guy? Guy get tshuva. All of his affairs became mitzvahs. What do they want from him?
I read that.
I don't understand what they're picking on him for.
A convert.
Yeah.
Even though his sins are forgiven, he's clean and everything, but
yeah.
He still has. It takes 4 to 5 generations to get out of.
Yes, how come Boaz married Ruth? She was a go-go dancer in Moab, and who comes from her?
Probably a Navi, you could see that.
Well, I mean, no, he wasn't Boaz, was no Navi. I don't understand what they're picking on Yisroel, very difficult.
No, but 4 or 5 generations to get this out.
What now?
Well, you can still have a blessing. Look at Rabbi Akiva. He was
I don't know.
A couple of generations away from a Goy, too, but...
They say that to get all the the bad traits out of the goy, it takes 4 to 5 generations.
Yeah.
That's why the mitzvah, you have to wait 3 generations to marry into it.
4 generations. But here, Yisrael was a ger tzedek. A ger tzedek is more beloved to Hashem than a born Jew.
You're still beloved, but you still have tendencies that...
Yeah. So we discriminate against him?
No, I don't see it.
The choices you make in life change your spiritual or your physical DNA.
Yeah.
So the forefathers of boys have an effect for you. Even though the soul is righteous, a Jewish soul, there's certain defects within the body.
But anyway, the Gemara is saying that when you marry a woman, you got to check out the brother. Why is that? On 110A1, on the right side, Tana. You have it, Rabbi Yaakov? 110A1 on the right side, Tana, second paragraph.
A1
on the right side, the second paragraph, Tana. Why do you have to check out the brother before you marry a woman? Roif bonim doimil acheyoem. Most children resemble the brother of the mother. Mm-hmm. So if a man wishes to gain insight into the nature of the children he may have from a prospective Bible, let him first examine the character of her brothers. Why is that? Look at footnote 8 of Yaakov. Can you read that? Footnote 8?
I'm on the wrong page. Oh.
A woman's brothers are the male products of the upbringing that she herself received from her parents. And that she is most likely to pass to her own children.
Yeah.
Therefore, their character and value of the brothers are generally a good measuring stick of the kind of persons her own children will become.
Mm-hmm. But then you can see brothers. One of them could be a very righteous brother. The other one could be a very
righteous brother. We just asked that question.
Yes, what do you do then?
You focus on the righteous brother.
The
righteous brothers.
The righteous brothers.
That's right.
Where are they now?
I don't know where they are.
They're old men.
The righteous brothers.
We're learning Torah.
You got that love and feel.
They're in now, the pot somewhere in Oregon.
The Gemara goes back to Nebuchadnezzar. Can you imagine Moshe Rabbeinu's grandson should be a Getchka guy?
Yonatan.
The Gemara returns the story of Yonatan ben Gershom ben Moshe. Mm-hmm. You know? Micha set up an idol, and he was the priest to this idol, Micha's idol, the book of Shoftim.
You could say that with Yosef, this is it, when we saw with David and Manasseh, and he goes, who are these kids?
Right, so look at the Gemara over here, but Yusuru Sham, look at note number 9, in the book of Judges, you see that? The verse relates to the beginning of a dialogue which took place between Yonatan, Moshe's grandson, who was serving as a priest to Micha's idol, and spies from the tribe of Dan, who were lodging at Micha's house. So what took place there, back in the Gemara?
Very, very complicated story.
The men of the tribe of Dan came and said to Yonatan, the grandson of Moshe, who brought you here? What are you doing here? What is there for you here? Amrilai, they said to him, the men of Dan said to him, Lav mi Moshe causes? Are you out of your mind? Do you not descend from Moshe? Dichsiv be al tikre halom. God told Moshe in last week's parsha, do not approach any closer here. Remember, by the burning bush?
Yeah, here.
Right? Lav mi Moshe causes? Dichsiv be mazeh b'yadecha. You come from Moses. But God said to him, what is that in your hand? Remember the stick? It came a snake?
Yeah.
Lav mi Moshe de causes? The chsibbe ba'apta poi amoy de modi. You come from Moses. God said, you stand by me. Right? Look at note 12.
Mm-hmm.
After the Ten Commandments were given, God told Moses that he would what?
Would relay
the rest of the Torah to him personally. And that Moses in turn should teach it to the Yidden. In connection with this, God told Moses, stand by your man, stand here with me. Teyoseh koyel avodah zarah, are you out of your mind? You come from Moshe Rabbeinu, how is it possible that you have become a priest of idols? I mean, take a pill and lie down. So what does he answer? Omelahan, what did Yonatan say to them? Kach mikeblani mibeis avi abba. I received this tradition from my grandfather. Who's my grandfather?
Yitro.
Moshe. Don't mix me up. La'olam yaskir adam atzmo l'avodah zarah.
Grandfather.
His grandfather was Moshe.
Yeah.
A man should even hire himself out to perform service for idols, while yitzarech labriyot, to not be a schnorrer. My grandfather told me, get any job, even in a getzke house, rather than become a schnorrer, a collector. You hear this? The Moshe really told him that. Look at note 13, Rabbi Yaakov. Give me note 13.
Yonatan interpreted this to mean that so long as one did not actually believe in the idol as his god, one was permitted to earn a living by acting as its priest.
It's a good job. It's a good contract.
Good job. Gets to wear
to be a deformed rabbi is a very high-paying job.
They are pretty good.
Well, I think that's why Yitro was doing it in the end.
Yeah.
He didn't believe it anymore, but he just said it's good money.
It's good money. So look, in this vein,
Yerushalmi Brachos relates that Yonatan would caution supplicants that the idol was powerless to help them.
Bigger.
Just give me your donations.
That's right. He says this doesn't work, but look.
He would then proceed to accept goods from the people for his own consumption and promise them that he would petition Hashem on their behalf.
So back in the text on 110a1, who sabal avodah zarah, mamish, that Yonatan, the grandson of Moshe Rabbeinu, he understood it just like involvement in the actual service of idols, but he only wanted to make a living. But in truth, this is not Moshe could not tell him to do that, take any job even in a getzke place. Yeah, el avodah zarah avodah shazarah lo. Rather, what Moshe meant. What does Moshe mean? Salam Aleichem. Salam Aleichem. Hi, thank you. Hi, Yassal. Well, what did you see? You twist
you. Huh? You can't sit there.
Yeah, he can sit there. He can twist his grandfather's words. You see what's going on, David? You hear what you might close the door. You hear what you want to hear. No, it's fine. You hear what you want to hear. Moshe never said that, but this is what Yonatan wanted to hear. What did Moshe actually say? Avodah Shazara lo. He didn't mean idol worship. What he meant was, Avodah, work which is strange to you, like washing dishes or cleaning toilets. Even do that rather than become a schnorrer. That's what Grandpa meant.
But not Avodah Zarah.
No, he meant Avodah Shazara lo.
Oh.
What does Avodah Zarah literally mean? A strange work.
A strange work, yeah.
So he twisted Grandpa's words. Grandpa meant, even if a work is strange to you, menial cleaning toilets, rather do that than become a schnorrer. That's what Moshe taught his grandson.
A schnorrer is a beggar?
Uh-huh.
No. But it's not like a person who raises money for a yeshiva.
No, that's not a schnorrer. Talking a guy who begs for himself. Rather clean toilets. Avodah Zarah, menial, undignified labor. Kedama Lei Rav Kahana. Listen to this. Rav said to his Talmud Rav Kahana, Rav Meir Kahana, look. The Toish Nevelta Bishuk. If you are in need of a living, rather than schnorrer, skin a carcass in the marketplace and take payment for your labor. Mm-hmm. Look at note 15 of them. Give me that.
Note 15. I do not subsist on charity, but rather support yourself through honest labor, even if it is menial, even if you must perform it in public. This, however, does not sanction performing a type of work which the Torah forbids, such as participating in the service of idols.
So that's what the grandson
understood
from Moshe's words.
So he misunderstood.
He understood what Grandpa meant.
You can't be a reform rabbi then.
No, of course not.
Davin Yehid is the real
thing. No, you can't play that game. But rather skin a dead carcass in the marketplace, rather do that than not become a schnorrer.
Yeah.
Velotema gabaraba, and not say I am a great person, the zila be milse, and I cannot do such menial work. Look at note 16, Rabbi Yaakov. Can you read that? 16.
One might have thought that a scholar ought not perform menial labor in public, as this seems unfitting for him and would constitute a desecration of Shem Hashem. Indeed, for this very reason, our sages taught that a scholar may not go about with clothing that is stained, Moshe therefore taught that this is not the case, rather, the performance of honest labor to earn a living is never considered a degrading activity.
There's a sign in the Mishrat Avodah. Kol Avodah mechabedet et balo. Any job gives honor and dignity to the worker. They learned that Gemara. Mishrat Avodah.
Where's it taken from?
Mishrat Avodah. Right here.
But there is another possible.
Any job, no matter how menial, gives kavod to the worker. Comes from this Gemara right here.
But there's another possible that says how many goy will work in the Messianic time for a Jew.
They too.
So the Jew doesn't need to work. We have to learn Torah.
I don't know. They too. We're not. Mashiach's not here yet. So now a person has to be able to support himself rather than being a schnorrer. Now the Gemara says that Yonatan finally did tshuva.
Yonatan,
the grandson of Moshe, did do tshuva.
I don't remember.
The Gemara tells of a subsequent episode in Yonatan's life, which made him reform his evil ways. Joe, you got to change your evil ways.
Is it evil ways or he misunderstood?
He purposely twisted what the Rebbe said.
Purposely,
what is from his grandfather? Kivin Sherah David. When King David, many years later, saw that Yonatan really loved money, therefore he became a reform rabbi to get much better pay than an Orthodox rabbi, right? Look at note 17. When David saw the lengths to which Yonatan had gone to make sure that he has a good living, Nino ala Ratzot, he appointed him overseer of the royal treasury. He gave him a job. He gave him a job with the government. He hit us in the Misrad HaOtzar. Please close the door when you leave. Bakasha. Misrad HaOtzar. Shenemar and Shavuel, the son of Gershon, the son of Moses, was overseer of the treasury. So David says, you don't have to be a reform rabbi anymore. I'll give you a job in the treasury. Now, was his name Shuvel or Yonatan Shemo? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Sheshav Le'el B'choliboy. He was called Shuvel because he turned to God with all of his heart. He did Shuva. He did Shuva. Baruch Hashem.
Oh.
Look at note 19. You want to leave that, Avram? Note 19?
Baba Basra, number 3.
The name Shuvel is a compound. Go ahead.
Oh,
the name Shavuel is a compound, no?
That's a compound of the words Shav Le'el.
He returned to God.
Yeah,
behind now that Yonah was no longer burdened by financial pressures, he gave up his ministry to the idol and became an outstanding Jew.
He no longer needed the job in the Reformed Temple.
See, that's it. That's
David gave him a job in the Misrad HaOtzar, and...
The problem a lot of times is
Parnassa,
right?
Parnassa, that's right. He gave him a job. He didn't have to be a reform rabbi anymore. Go ahead.
If Yonatan was Moshe's grandson, and he was still living during the time of King David, he must have been well advanced in years.
Is he on the side?
No, Shalmi notes this point.
This is line 3. Yonatan merited longevity.
The same number.
No faith in the idol to which he was a priest. And dissuade those who approach him from worshiping him.
No.
He really didn't believe in it. He
didn't believe in it.
He just did it for the pranosa, right?
Give him this one.
He just did it for the pranosa, right?
Take this one, mister. When we look together, I think.
Okay. Yeah. Right.
So that's what you exactly say, elevate.
That what?
Sin, the tendency to sin, to elevate it, so he became a treasurer for...
He became a treasurer for King David, for government. Can you imagine?
And you like
money. David says, listen, it's not becoming of you to be a deformed rabbi. You're a grandson of Moses. I'll give you a job in the treasury department. Okay?
Yeah, there you go.
So,
government job.
You're the what?
Government job, right? The Gemara discusses the tragedy of one who dies and is not survived by a son. 116 Abraham 1. The Gemara discusses the tragedy of one who dies and is not survived by a son.
116 1?
Abraham 1. Omer Rabbi Yochanan Meshim Meshim Mechai.
116
A1. 116 A1. Omer Rabbi Yochanan Meshim Meshim Mechai. Kol She'eino Meniach Ben LeYorsho. Whoever does not leave behind a son to inherit him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Molei Olav Evra. God is surely full of anger towards him. What's his fault? Look at note number 7. Right, look at note number 7, no?
It is a sign that God is displeased with him.
Toys has asked Yakasha, bro.
But it's the Chazanish, right?
Toys has asked Yakasha. Let's learn first the Gemara. No? When a man's heritage, go ahead.
Passed down to his son, the heritage continues to be identified with him, for the son carries on his name.
However,
when it goes to a daughter, the heritage ceases to bear his name.
However, when the heritage goes to a daughter, the heritage ceases to bear his name.
Mm-hmm.
Because it follows
the lineage of the man.
The son-in-law, right?
Son-in-law, yeah.
How do I know that? Ksiv hocha v'yavartem es nachlosai. It is written in the passage of Yerusha, you shall pass his inheritance to his daughter, if he ain't got no son.
Yeah, yeah, that was the case.
Ksiv hocham b'noi slavchad, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yoim avra yomahu. It is written there in a passage dealing with the day in which God will punish the sinners, a day of anger, Evra. Since the word Ve'avartem, and you shall pass, is similar to the word Evra, the same word, similar, it implies that when a person does not leave behind a son and his legacy must be transferred to his daughter, God is surely angry at him.
Yeah, but this incident with the two daughters was to teach Klal Israel about the
five daughters.
A halacha.
The halacha that says, if there are no son, the daughter inherits. But it used the word vavartem to show that God was angry, that he didn't leave no son. But what's his fault? He tried.
I know a rabbi has eight daughters.
So, look at note number 10. Look at note number 10. Hard to understand.
What does it mean God's angry?
Can you read that, Harold 10? Yeah. You got it? The Gemara's expositional thought is based on the fact that in the verse describing inheritance by the daughter, the Torah does not state to the satem, you shall give, but it says the avartem, which comes from the word evra. Evra in Hebrew means what?
Anger.
Anger. I thought twice it said the word for season. Look at the Babacher Rebbe. What? What do you?
The Babacher Rebbe. Yeah.
Right, and the Chazanish.
I'm also throwing.
Chazanish. No, what?
It sounds strange to say God is angry.
The Torah speaks in the language of man. I think it's called anthropomorphism.
Okay.
Like that $12 word. Okay. It's called anthropomorphism. Dibrei Torah kaloshan b'nei Adam.
How are you doing?
Huh?
Looking for a book.
So that's the Gemara.
I'm going since
a similar teaching, right?
Mm-hmm.
Look, a similar teaching, you have it? Those that have no replacement and they fear God. What does that mean? The person dies without leaving behind a replacement. It's a sin, the sign you're not supposed to fear God. Chadoma, one of them said, refers to anyone does not leave behind a son.
I just want to tell you it's pretty important.
And the one said, refers to anyone does not leave behind a disciple. Not enough to leave behind a son. You have to leave behind a disciple.
Now. That the teaching goes on. That's
Tistayim Rabbi Yochanan, Dome Talmud. Rabbi Yochanan says Talmud. Dome Rabbi Yochanan used to say, this is the bone of my 10th dead son. Look at footnote 13. You want to read, please? Footnote 13.
13. Yochanan had 10 sons, all of whom died during his lifetime.
Say what?
He used to carry.
Say what? Rabbi Yochanan had 10 sons, and Nebuch all died during his lifetime.
Yeah, he used to carry around a tooth of the 10th son and show it to its mourners.
No, show mourn. When he went to be Menachem Oval, he would show them.
To the mourners.
Right? That misery loves company. What? You're not alone. What? To alleviate their suffering by demonstrating to them that he had managed to overcome a much greater tragedy than theirs.
Mm-hmm.
To bury Loyalenu 10 sons.
Mm-hmm.
They all died. So anyway, Rabbi Yochanan is saying that if a person doesn't leave behind a son, he didn't, he lost 10 sons, Loyalenu. So leave behind the disciple. A disciple is like a child.
What?
A disciple is like a child.
I thought there's something wrong if you lose your sons during your lifetime.
The great Rabbi Yochanan. What about Aaron? Rabbi Yochanan is the one who said that the verse refers to one who does not leave behind a disciple.
So
Rabbi Yochanan didn't leave behind a son, but left behind many disciples.
So that's kind of a cure.
That's the cure. So Babbage Rebbe had thousands of children. I think he had hundreds of thousands of children, Babbage Rebbe, because he had so many disciples. And the Chazon Ish had hundreds of thousands of children. Chazon Ish, a child is like a disciple. Think of it, right? There's an amazing Rashi in Parshas Noah. That what's a person's real offspring? His mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim. Says Ela told us Noah, Noah ish tzadik. These are the offspring of Noah. Noah was a righteous person. So Rashi asked the question. You say you're going to tell me the offspring of Noah, so why don't you mention them? So Rashi says he does mention them. What's a person's true offspring? Ish tzaddik. Here is David. A person's mice and toivim are his real offspring. Because the human offspring leave the person at the cemetery. Then they go to the lawyer's office to fight over the will. Never a lot of families. But a person's spiritual offspring, his ma'asim tovim, don't leave him at the cemetery. So Ela told us Noach, Noach ish tzadik, says Rashi. Yes, the true offspring of a person are his ma'asim tovim.